I think overall, what I found with the reading was it really is dealing with a significant change of state. That's what it's describing so far as the level of the natural is concerned. Lifting it out of person, it struck me that the natural that's being transformed is the relationship we have so far as our understanding of the letter of the word is concerned. So it is the letter of the word that is the natural that is being transformed here. And it's being transformed as a result of a capacity to perceive the Lord within it. And that's described in the transformation of the letter from factual knowledge to truths of the church to spiritual truth. So you have a trine mentioned there. You have the memory knowledges of Egypt. You have the sons of Jacob and you have the sons of Israel. So you have kind of a mapping that takes place there through those representations. And so the transformation is really the equivalency of the Lord's transfiguration. So when we come to the Word and we're reading the same history, but we're not reading the history, we're reading what's involved so far as state is concerned, then the Lord begins to shine through. So what is being transformed in terms of our own sense of things is the Lord's natural, which is the letter of the word, because that supports the whole. And as that transformation takes place, so the text itself undergoes a transfiguration, which is what's illustrated through the Lord's transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. So Peter being faith, James as charity, and John as the good of charity itself. So those elements are all aspects of practice, which brings about the transformation in the text, which also is spoken to so far, not just as the change of garments and also the idea of the carts and things being held in terms of our understanding in accordance with our affection. So the Lord can only shine through when we are in a state of light or perception. Now, that's not some kind of mysterious thing. What it means is that we're involved in applying the principles of the word to the life of the mind for the purposes of shunning evils as sins. That's what brings perception. Yes, it's granted by the Lord, and the Lord is the word. And so when the word is being integrated into the life, then the perception is present because the Lord is always fully present. He never goes anywhere. It's our movement away or our shift in state toward what is more self-centered that sees the perception drop away. And it's simply because the Lord can't flow into the love of self and the love of the world. So when that's at the center, of course perception is lacking, but still there is the letter of the word and it takes these different forms so that it can meet all the different states. So generally speaking, my understanding is that immediate influx is what just maintains everything. Immediate influx is the mediation through angels and spirits. And that's what we are conscious of, or what we can become conscious of. Immediate influx, the Lord attends to maintaining us in equilibrium, maintaining our rationality so that we can act in freedom, like all the big things that are needed for us to function in life or as a being that lives from the Lord. That's what I understand by immediate influx, whereas mediate influx is more what's involved in our reception of thoughts and feeling. So when you engage with the text, there's a lot going on, and it's all of that. So the way that I think of it is the text at the level of the letter provides the ground or a mirror, that's probably a better way of thinking about it, by which the influx that's coming in can be reflected back into our awareness. So the Lord meets the Lord in us, what is of himself in us, and then something can happen. That's light. Heavenly light can be present in the natural. Because firstly, the word is there, which perfectly corresponds to who and what the Lord is. but it becomes active when we are willing to use it in accordance with the use for which it is given, which is for the salvation of the human race. So if we use the word for the purposes of self-examination and repentance with a view to shunning evils as sins against the Lord, then it comes alive. That's the good that can enter in and give it its life for us. So we can see our process in the context of what's written here, the story that we're dealing with. And so you can link this to your experience of logopraxis, right? When you first come to the text, you don't know what you're going to be working with, and what you read it at quite a factual kind of level, a literal level, if you like. And then as you begin to meditate a bit more on what's here, linkages start to be made, and the linkages are connected to more an interior point of view. So then it becomes truths of the church, what's described as truths of the church. So the text has undergone a transformation, or if you like, if you want a New Testament image, it's undergoing a transfiguration. And then as we begin to take something from the text and begin to apply it, then it becomes spiritual truth. Now, the thing to remember is that the term spiritual means mental. It has to do with states of mind, structures and states that exist in the mental world. That is the spiritual world. That is mine and your spiritual world. And so as these truths are taken in at that level and bring a state of light to what's going on within, then that's another development or level of transformation that's going on. So you have this idea of memory knowledges, but Egypt is memory knowledges. So you have that as well. And then the truths of the church are represented or described as the sons of Jacob. So that's natural truths for the church there. But when they become spiritual or come into connection with spiritual good or the application of those truths to the life of the mind, they become the sons of Israel. They begin to hold something different for us. So then you come to the stage that when you then reread what you've been working with, you no longer read it in terms of Joseph and his brothers or anything like that. You read it in terms of the spiritual experience that you have been through over those 2 weeks. So yes, there are like the big shifts and changes where there's an actual change in the state of mind and no stepping back from that. But these changes are also incremental. So we cycle through them over the course of the 2 week period. So if we give attention to it, we'll see that. And also if you give attention to the seasons, you'll see that in your work over the period as well. There's a cycle that occurs. There's an evening state where things are obscure and it moves through to a morning when stuff is starting to come to light. And then there's midday, which is, you know, like you're full on able to connect experience to what's being described in the text. And then you have a movement back through to evening again. And that could be the start of our next cycle. So it's just being aware that there's the big kind of aspect of the cycle, and then there's all the small cyclic aspects as well. But the same pattern plays out just on different scales.